In my home, private matters were always private. It was always kept between the family. So whether it was financial problems or emotional struggles or marital problems, there was no airing of your dirty laundry. It stayed inside the house. So with that, I began to take on a very introverted, keep everything inside, everything's okay. Even if it wasn't, I'm fine. Are you doing okay? I'm great. When really, inside I was anything but that. Walls of fear had begun to build and build and build within me. Fear of people's thoughts and opinions, fear of change, fear of making mistakes, and I literally could go on and on with the list of fears. It just was a mountain. I thought that this was how I was destined to live, but God showed me that that was not the destiny that He had for me. Having that type of mindset caused me to keep very surface relationships with friends and anyone who was around me. I didn't open up to anyone. I had a very dear friend that said to me once, and I had known her for over 10 years. She said, "You know, I've known you for so long, but I really don't know anything about you." And I'm sitting there like, how, after 10 years, do you know nothing about me? And God showed me that although I was always there for her, listening to her, trying to pour into her, I always guarded my words. I never opened up. I never would say what was going on. She didn't know much about my family. She didn't know much about anything concerning me. Because that was my way of protecting myself from what people thought about me, from people's judgments. But I also, God showed me that He called me to live free. He showed me that His plan was never for us to walk alone. And Galatians 6:2 talks about carrying one another's burdens. And that is so important to be able to have those types of relationships. And it took a very, very long time for me to get to that place of letting those walls of fear down. It really wasn't until literally the past year that I have really been set free. I got to a place over the past year, even just being here in Chesapeake, and I'll get to that point, but that God surrounded me with trusting friendships and relationships where I could be vulnerable, where I could say, hey, I need some prayer. You know, I'm not doing so great right now. You know, I'm struggling in this area. Can you just speak a word to me? Can you just stand with me? Can you just sit with me in quietness just so I have the support? And that did such a world of difference in my life. Another area that I struggled with, very much so, was fear of being alone. It sounds kind of funny because I always had a lot of people around me, but I still had this complete fear of being alone. When I was in college, I met a young man that I quickly became involved with, and I was so excited about just the prospect of having a boyfriend, and it was just, whoa, this is great. But I knew that it wasn't right. I knew that it was not God's timing. I ended up dating him off and on throughout college for quite some time, and early on, God spoke to me and said, this is not who you're going to marry. But I was so fearful of letting go and not having that comfort zone and not having someone there that I stayed in the relationship. It continued to go on, and after time, he became very smothering and very hurtful with words. He would say things to me like, who else is going to want you? No one. And at the time, you know, I didn't recognize those things as lies. So it hurt, and it caused even more pain to the point where I was like, how can I let go of this? Excuse me. How can I let go of this? If no one else is going to want me, then I must stay in this. I must stay in this unfruitful, unfulfilling relationship that's not even based in God. But The Lord showed me that that's exactly what it was. They were just lies, lies that were spoken. And it was not anything that I needed to be fearful about. I continued to go on in it, and it wasn't until he gave me such an ultimatum. I had told the Lord that I wanted to remain pure until marriage, and he didn't have the same conviction. So it was at that point that I literally stopped and was like, God, something's got to give. Like, I cried out to the Lord, and he gave me the strength and faith to leave that relationship, to let it go, and to put my trust fully in him, completely and totally in him. And he showed me that the lies and the fear that was put in, that was spoken into me, was not how he saw me. My identity was solely in Christ, and in Christ alone, no one else. And anything that was spoken contrary to that was nothing but fear and lies from the enemy. So I stepped away, and it wasn't easy, and there were definitely some remnants that were left with it. But God helped me to shut that door, and I stepped into just walking fully with him. I continued to battle with feelings of fear and insecurity in my marriage as a result. When I first got married to my husband, Paul, my fear of being judged made me so super sensitive about everything and anything. And I mean, seriously, like everything and anything. It was the smallest little thing that was insignificant and really didn't matter. And I was just like, oh, why? So my husband, after we got married, it's actually funny, I cooked dinner for him for the first time, one of the first times. That seemed simple enough, but it wasn't. Paul had gone to school for hospitality management and had done a number of cooking classes and was this, whipped up a meal for us first and was this culinary, like, mastermind. And I was like, what? Like, this is amazing. He's kind of like how your mom was in the kitchen, Kelly. And I was just like, how am I going to cook for this man? Oh, Lord, help me. So the first time I cooked for him, I gave him the meal. I said, how is everything, love? It's good. So I kind of gave him a side eye, and I'm like, good. For most people, that would have been enough. But for me, I'm like, okay, what was good about it? What could have been better? What could I have done differently? Was the sauce good? And finally, after me berating him with so many questions, he said, okay, this could have been a little bit different. And then I took that for judgment, and I started crying, and I just fell apart. And I was like a complete mess. And it seems like something small, but it wasn't, because it happened so many times unnecessarily. And again, God had me step back and see, your identity is not in your husband. Your identity is not in the people around you. That is not those fears, the fears of judgment, that's not where it is. Your identity is solely in me. In me. And I said, okay, Lord, I think I'm getting it. I think I'm getting it. but it took some time. It took some time, and God really worked on my heart. He really worked on my heart and really began to break down those walls of fear. I mean, because it would be so bad that it would be inside, I would be cringing. It was so crippling, the fear that I felt. I couldn't sit and have a conversation with someone without worrying about everything. With my husband, what is he thinking? What is he thinking? And it became so crippling. But God chipped away and chipped away and worked with me. And he was so gentle with me, as he worked on that area of my life. One of the scriptures that God showed me to see where my affirmation was it's Romans 8, 31 through 39. And it says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, because of you, we are put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that was so powerful to me, because there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. The love that we may seek from others, that can be temporary, but God's love is permanent. And it was so freeing to be like, okay, Lord, I can rest in you and in my complete trust in you. So even as I was going through this, there's two other scriptures, just really quickly, that God gave me to speak anytime the spirit of fear, anytime any type of fear came up. And they're just my go-to scriptures. I think that everyone should have a go-to scripture. And they are Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And Philippians 4:6, which I actually wear on my hand, which is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There's nothing that we need to be anxious about, because God hears every prayer that we lay before him. He knows where our weaknesses are. He knows where we're struggling. And he's so loving and kind that he meets us just where we're at and deals with us just as we need him to, so gently. The Lord has certainly stretched me in the area of trust, having faith and not fearing despite what things may look like on the surface. He literally and figuratively has moved me out of my comfort zone. Where fear sought to keep me, faith now took residence. Over the past year, God has done such a work in my life, as I said. My husband and I moved to Chesapeake, Virginia, from Brooklyn, New York, and it was absolutely nothing but the Lord, as Joy said a little bit in my introduction. We were visiting on vacation, and we just felt that the Lord was causing us to move here. We were like, okay, you know, what is this? Like, we've been in New York all of our lives, but we were praying and praying. We just kept feeling the Lord is saying, this is where you need to be. So over the course of about 2 months, we prayed about it and prayed about it, and God brought confirmation in so many different ways, including the bottom of a Chesapeake teddy bear from Dollar Tree. And we were like, okay, Lord, we have peace about this. We have peace. And we prepared to move. We packed up our apartment. We didn't have jobs. We didn't have family. We didn't know anyone. But we began to just pack up our apartment. There were literally boxes from the floor to the top of the ceiling in our little Brooklyn apartment. And we said, okay, God, we're just waiting. You lead our steps. So we had family and friends and loved ones who were like, you guys are crazy. What are you doing? You need to plan. You need to have a year of at least planning. Get things in order. But by the time we got here, we had jobs in line. We had an apartment in line. God had placed friends around us that we met coming back and forth. And we were amazed. God literally blew my socks off. And where I normally would have feared every step that I was taking, it was nothing but a faith walk. I was like, okay, you want me to go here? All right, Lord, just show me the next step. You want me to go here? Okay, show me the next step. And it just continues to happen every day, more and more. And it's like the faith just keeps increasing. And every time faith increases more, it's like fear drops down here even more. Faith increases and fear drops down even more. And it is so amazing. It's literally a faith journey with God. I say he's literally writing the pages of my life every day because I don't know. It's so exciting to me because I never know what's going to be next. Even being here today before you is a testimony to what God is doing. Because let me tell you, a year ago, I'd have been like, no, I don't care what the Lord said. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting up in front of those people and talking. Really? No. But God has stretched me so much in a good way. you know, it doesn't always feel so good when you're getting stretched, but it's so good when you see the results of what God, the fruit of what God is doing within you. So I literally cannot wait to see what God has in store for me, because I literally know he's going to blow my socks off with whatever the next step is. So I just want to close with this scripture. And it says, 2 Timothy 1:6 through 10. Therefore, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God has a calling for each of us, and that is not to walk in fear, not to remain in fear. Fear will keep us bound to where we're at and will not allow us to walk through the doors that God has for us to walk through. There are different things that each one of us, God has planned for us. And that fear is what will keep us stagnant, staying right where we're at. God desires that each person, if there's anyone here that is struggling with fear in any area, God desires for you to be free. It is not his will for us to remain in fear. It is not his will for us to remain in bondage. He desires that we would walk in the freedom that he has given us through Christ Jesus. So, I'm just going to pray for you ladies. And Dee, if you and the team wouldn't mind, let's get it together. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. Lord God, I thank you for the work that you're doing in each one of these ladies' hearts, Father God. Father, we know that you, Lord, have placed so many things within each one, Lord. God, I bind the spirit of fear, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you would begin to just demolish that spirit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch each one, Lord God. Show them how you see them, Father, in your eyes, Lord God. Touch them exactly where they're at, Father God. Speak to every gift, Lord God, every purpose and promise that is in every lady here, Father God. I pray that you would just pour out your love unto them, Lord God. Pour out your healing power, Father God. Oh God, do a wonderful work in each one here, Father. We know that you are greater than every circumstance or all things, Lord God, and that fear is nothing but a lie from the enemy. Father God, so we cancel it out in the name of Jesus even now, Father. And Lord God, we speak life. I speak life and peace, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God, peace upon your people, Father God. Lord God, let your Holy Spirit fill this place and fill each one, Father. Touch each lady exactly as they need a touch, Father God. Lord God, I thank you, Father God. Let your hand be upon them, Father God. I pray for healing of minds, Father God. I pray for deliverance, Lord God, of minds, of the bondage, Lord God, that goes in on in thinking, Father God. Lord God, remove every hindrance in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you and I praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies, if you would like someone to pray with you, there are a ministry team on either side here. If you would like someone to agree with you to break the power of fear in your life, we'll just take a moment here. Otherwise, just sit quietly and listen to this powerful song.
distance.